You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarlane. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. Great to be back with you. It is a cold, almost snowy Monday here in Western New York at HR Happy Hour HQ. And I just saw this morning that winter is coming to Western New York. And with that, I've decided, just like I'm now taking proposals, just like our friends at Amazon are taking proposals for their new HQ2 location, I'm officially looking for proposals for the HR Happy Hour HQ2 relocation. So I have one requirement essentially for any proposals that come in. I want to relocate to somewhere where it does not snow. So that is an official announcement here from the HR Happy Hour show. And speaking of proposals, HR Tech 2018 speaking proposals process open for just a couple of more weeks. I know I keep talking about this. I won't shut up about it until the end of the year probably, but go to www.hrtechconference.com to submit your speaking proposal before December 20th. Some quick HR Happy Hour updates. Check out last week's show. I did it with Jeff Carr from Zenefits. Really interesting conversation about kind of the evolution of that company and everything they've been through in the last couple of years and how they've come out of it, where they're going. So check out that show. Really good conversation with Sjoerd Gehring from Johnson & Johnson, the Global Vice President of Talent Acquisition, on reinventing the candidate experience. Really good conversation with Sjoerd. And then a couple more shows coming up. I'll be recording a bunch of shows soon as we sort of wind down the year. But a new show coming up about technology to kind of supercharge and enhance and improve the classic employee assistance program and process, and then something coming up on disability hiring I'm pretty excited about as well. And finally, booking shows for next year now already. Tweet at the show at HR Happy Hour. Send me an email, steve@h3hr.com. And I promise, finally, last announcement, been teasing this for a couple of weeks, my all NBA podcast, Bounding and Standing, I swear it's coming soon. So that could be my holiday gift to you, HR Happy Hour listeners. So stay tuned for that. And finally, thanks to Virgin Pulse, of course, our show sponsor since 1975, www.virginpulse.com to learn about everything that's going on at Virgin Pulse, and thanks to them. So that's it for announcements. We have a great show lined up today, a super guest waiting in the wings, and we're going to be talking about data science, machine learning, and how that can be applied and is being applied in talent management and talent acquisition. And we have one of the best kind of resources to talk about that subject today. We have Dan Shapiro, who is the Vice President of Talent Solutions, Careers, and Learning at LinkedIn. He is passionate about building companies, growing great teams, and having his work change the world for the better. Dan has had a diverse mix of experiences, but he is an operator and problem solver at heart. He studied math and computer science in college. He started his first company at 19, which he then sold at age 21. He's been an entrepreneur, management consultant, startup utility player, global sales and analytics leader, and now as a project manager. Dan believes that all great technology leaders must understand how amazing products are envisioned and built. So he's recently embarked on a tour of duty in product management at LinkedIn, our favorite. Dan Shapiro, welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. How are you?
nice to chat with you, Steve.
Dan, great to be with you. I'm really in on LinkedIn. I didn't mention this in the pre-show when we talked. I just wrote a really long human resource executive column on LinkedIn, which I'll link to in the show notes as well. So I've been having LinkedIn on the mind lately. But before we get into some of the meat of the conversation, Dan, I like to start every HR Happy Hour show with this question. Tell us something about you, something fun, something interesting, not in the bio.
Yeah, so I know you did an interview with Dan Heath recently. That's right, correct?
Yes, that's true. I did.
Yeah, so something out of my profile is that Dan Heath was a classmate of mine in business school, and I know him really well, and he is about the funniest guy you will ever meet. And, you know, so I've known him for about almost 15 years now, which is kind of amazing to think about.
Nice. That's good and timely as well. We just had Dan on 2-3 weeks ago. He was great, and he had this big boom. I had never talked to him. You know, I knew of him, but I had never spoken to him before we did the show. And I welcomed him to the show, and came on with this big booming voice. And he was great. Great. That's a great tip. So now you guys can, you know, next time you're hanging out at the barbecue or over the summer at the cocktail party, you can regale each other with stories of the HR Happy Hour show. So.
Awesome. Very cool.
So Dan, today, you know, kind of the title of the show, if we're to sort of give it a title, is more like a question, right? How will data insights change the modern workforce? That's such a kind of big title, but it's important. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, because we're talking about this idea a lot, data insights, talent analytics, machine learning and such, and it's being talked about a lot. But for me, and I think for a lot of HR folks or talent management folks, it has the potential to be kind of confusing. So maybe I'll start with this. From your perspective, what do we mean when we talk about machine learning in the sort of the HR talent context? And what do you guys think it means for kind of the quote unquote normal HR and talent professional? Let's start there.
Sure. Well, I think one of the things that we find going on right now in HR is that the HR function is being asked to perform their tasks at a strategic level that hasn't really existed in the past. And a lot of that comes back to the fact that talent is the competitive advantage in most companies. And because the CEO and the board and the C-suite increasingly recognizes the role of talent, they're asking harder questions and they're placing higher expectations on their HR teams. And that exists at the CHRO level in terms of the role they play in strategic discussions. And it places more pressure also on recruiters who are being asked by hiring managers to find increasingly challenging skill sets across the world. And so all of this really starts with just an increased pressure upon HR teams to perform at a higher level than they've ever had to in the past because of the role that talent plays in companies winning or losing in their markets. So if you look underneath that, there's a bunch of different ways that data plays a role. There's the data you bring to the table to a discussion like, where do I open an office?
Right.
There's the data you bring to the table on how you think about filling a particular rec. Now, machine learning is one part of this picture. And machine learning is all about the fact that in the last 10 years, scientists and technologists have figured out how to feed ever vast amounts of data into learning systems. And those systems can continue to get better and better and better as you give it more data. It used to be the fact that if you gave a computer system a certain amount of data, it couldn't learn anymore. It sort of capped out from how good it could get. And what machine learning is it's a discipline to give increasingly vast amounts of data into these computer systems, and they keep getting better. One of the places where they get better is being able to recommend applicants to look at.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge in figuring out who's a great person to fit a role at your company is a really hard problem to solve. There's all kinds of skill matching issues at play. There's what does that candidate actually want in their job? And so it's a really hard thing to get right. And what we're finding is that we can continue to give these systems more and more information, and they just keep getting better. And that's a new technological capability that has never existed in the world before. And that's what makes it super exciting. And that's why machine learning is being talked about so often, is because we now have all this data and we know how to put it to good use.
Yeah, Dan, thanks for that. That's helpful for sure. And you kind of hit at maybe the best, one of the best ways I've heard sort of someone try to explain this, right, to the layperson, which I'd put myself in that bucket as well, right? Our systems in the past, even our enterprise systems that are quote unquote the most powerful systems, kind of for decades, really, all they were was a place to hold lots and lots of data. And if you knew how to ask for what part of that data you were interested in, you could get that data returned to you. But that was probably all they could really do, right? They could just hold the data, maybe do some processes on it, spit back a result to you, but they couldn't get any better at it, right? And they were so reliant, mm-hmm. right, on the quality of the data and your ability to keep feeding data into those systems more and more to get any kind of value out of them after all. And quite frankly, lots of users didn't really find them all that valuable, right? You probably know of lots of stories in your career of enterprise users of applications who hated using those systems because it seemed like their job only was to just continually feed the system information but not get anything of value back themselves.
That's exactly right. I mean, if you go back to the 80s, the state-of-the-art technology was called expert systems. And if you wanted to build a system, as an example, that could look at an image of a healthcare patient and decide if that person had, you know, some sort of cancer going on, what you would do is you'd go and you'd find the world leaders in that discipline and you'd interview them. And you'd almost try to reconstruct their thought process. Like, oh, first I look for something that looks like this, and then I ask myself these questions. And you were just trying to program into the computer how the person thought about the problem. And that was the state of the art 30 years ago. And what we've learned is that that's actually not a great way to solve these problems. The right way is to take millions and millions and millions of images of patients and to label them either this person has a cancer or this person doesn't, and have the computer figure out what the rules are.
Right.
And once you do that, then the game is just about having the best data to train the system. And so machine learning is about taking a data-first approach to that problem, and what you end up with is a situation where if you have great data, if you can teach the computer as much information as possible, then the system can learn to do tasks better than a human ever could. And I think that just has wonderful implications for how we can help people do their jobs better and how we can leverage technology.
Yeah, Dan, that's a great example, right? And I think a big part of, say, that example, that oncology example, I hope I used the right term there, I think I got that one right. I watch a lot of Jeopardy, so that sometimes it pays off. Is the outcomes themselves, right? Like, I think lots of times these models have to get trained on feeding in all this quality data. The models learn to try to make predictions about outcomes, but then there's got to be kind of a feedback loop where we can feed back the actual outcomes that were experienced in the real world so the models themselves can continue to learn as well. And I'd love to talk a little bit about sort of some of the applications that you're seeing, either the ones that you guys are working on and providing support for at LinkedIn, or just more generally, the kinds of applications you're interested in or excited about in the HR talent acquisition space. You mentioned finding the right candidate for a given role, and you mentioned one that's really interesting to me, and not just of my goofy I don't want to be in the snow anymore example, but this concept of where an organization should locate an office or a new headquarters or a store or something like that. And that one to me is so interesting. So maybe talk a little generally about some of the applications of these kinds of techniques and technologies, and then maybe we can dig into some of the things you guys are working on at LinkedIn.
Fantastic. So the two places that we're spending a lot of time thinking about are, one, how do we empower HR executives to make great decisions about the talent strategy for the organization? And then the second is, how do we empower recruiters in their day-to-day activity to spend their time as effectively as possible on the right candidates? We think that both of those two problems are incredibly rich, and if we move the ball forward on either of them or both of them, then we can create a lot of value, we can help our clients, and we can help the general HR profession advance as much as possible. So in the first category, what we find is that HR strategy is being discussed in the C-level at a pace that it never has been before. And when we look at the discussions that are happening about where do I open an office, what skills are most important to my most critical functions, do I have the people I need in the key places, that those discussions typically happen without a lot of data. And it's mostly because the data sets haven't existed before that HR executives can rely on. And so we announced at Talent Connect this past fall, a product called LinkedIn Talent Insights. And what it's going to be is a system that HR executives can go to ask questions that they have about talent pools, about the competitive landscape. And what we hope that creates is it moves the discussion from one of opinion to one of fact, so that you can really have a discussion about where best to put your office. And it's one of the questions we get often, and it allows you to say things like, are the skills I need to hire for in that area,
right,
are the companies that I would need to recruit from, Do those companies, do I typically do well trying to hire from those companies or not?
Yeah.
How is my brand represented in the market that I'm thinking about opening an office? All of these, what's the compensation makeup in that market? All of these questions should inform a great choice. And so what we're trying to do is to make sure all the data is on the table so that the team that's making that decision can start with a set of facts and then make whatever choice they think is right for the organization.
Yeah, and that's such a – Dan, let me do a quick reset. With Dan Shapiro from LinkedIn. He's the Vice President of Talent Solutions, Careers, and Learning. We're talking about data insights and empowering HR and talent leaders to make better decisions. And that where to locate the office one, Dan, I've written about it a couple times. It resonates with me so much. I just read over the weekend, and I knew about this and I'd sort of forgotten about it, but there was a study done back, I want to say maybe in the 70s, when lots of corporations, that first wave of big corporations moving their corporate HQs sort of out of city centers and into suburban mm-hmm. locales and office parks and such. And this one gentleman, I'll have to find his name for the show notes, but this researcher and author found that the single most relevant predictor of where the new office would be located, like in the zip code it would be located, was the home address of the CEO at the time. Like that was the thing, right? The closer you got to where the CEO lived, you were much the new HQ was much more likely to be in that county or the county right next to it. It was crazy, right? Because obviously they weren't applying data science and understanding of the market and all those types of competitive factors that you described in order to make those decisions. Now, look, I don't think that happens any longer. I don't think, but it's a really big deal, Dan. Like, you guys are seeing.
What's lucky for us is that we've actually been helping clients with questions like this for the better part of about 8 years. We have a team at LinkedIn that basically goes to clients when they have core questions and just helps work through LinkedIn data to help them provide answers. But it's been very much a consulting-oriented team for us. You know, the client asks the questions and we have a group of analysts go in and dig up the data. What we found, though, is we've gotten to this place where the number of requests are reaching over 10,000 requests each year.
Wow.
That we can build a product around it and just put that product in the hands of our clients. So we're incredibly excited about unlocking and democratizing all this information for the betterment of HR professionals. And it just seems like the demand for these kinds of answers has never been growing at a faster clip. And if you look at the talent that HR teams are hiring, HR and talent analysts are one of the fastest growing groups, and it's because these questions are being asked at a faster pace than they ever have before.
Yeah, it's and I'd agree with you that it keeps happening more and more. And in fact, I mentioned that example from the 70s, right, of the large corporations relocating out of city centers for, various reasons why. It wasn't just to get closer to the CEO's house, I don't think. Maybe not in every case. But now we're seeing a reverse of that trend, actually, right? Like, McDonald's is one for sure. I think General Electric is another. And there's one other really big one I'm forgetting. It might be Boeing, right, that are relocating HQ organizations in locations back into cities. And the reason why they talk about it, Dan, and you know this, right, but for the listeners, it's a talent play, right? It's not about, oh, it'll just be more fun to be in the city and we'll cut our commutes down. It's about at least their perception of the kinds of talent that these organizations needs to recruit, needs to attract, needs to retain. They'll have a much better chance of doing all those things if their location is, say, in the city center of Chicago or New York or Boston.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about one of the trends that's happened, I think, over the last 15 years, is that companies have realized that talent is how they win or lose in their market. And so to get the best talent, one of the things you need to mentally think about is, if I were to describe my opportunities at my company as a product, mm-hmm. what are the attributes of the product, and does it resonate with the buyer, which in this case is the people we want to hire? And one of the attributes of any job is where it is relative to where you live and how do you feel about the environment you're going to be working in. And in a world of options where candidates can make decisions about where they go to work and have lots of choice, you got to meet them where they want to be. And I think what we've found is that that's required organizations to move more offices into city centers. It's changed the way that companies think about benefits. It's changed the way that companies think about their value props. And I think it just reinforces the notion that the company with the best offering to their employees is the one that gets the best people.
Yeah, and these kinds of technologies and approaches and just access to this kind of data that perhaps in the 70s, like we keep going back to that example, were much more difficult or if not impossible to have access to. These things also empower HR and talent leaders in their own organizations and in their own careers, right? Like if you as an HR talent leader can walk into that meeting, that C-suite discussion about where's the new office going to be located, armed with a set of data and insights and understanding about the market for talent in that place, I mean, you're a key factor, if not the key factor in that decision, I would think.
Absolutely. Well, I think that what we're seeing is a trend for HR leaders to become increasingly talent advisors to the company. And what you find is in a room where everyone has an opinion, the most senior person's opinion is the one that rules typically. When you're in a group of, when you're in a meeting and you have fact, then it tends to be the facts that drive the decision, you know, by and large. Though seniority sometimes does as well. But I think the key is that being the person that has that source of truth about what's really going on puts you in a position to change the nature of your role and puts you in a position to guide the discussion towards the most productive outcomes. And I think that organizations are clamoring for HR to take that mantle because it's so critical to the success of the company.
Yeah, and I'll let this sort of relocation of the office thing go after one more comment. I'm sorry to dwell on it for folks who are listening, but I love this one the most of all. And in fact, I remember years ago, like we had this event where we were it was an HR Evolution event we did a few years ago where we had a session where we were brainstorming, you know, it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Dan, a group of HR leaders and professionals were brainstorming about, wow, what would be the dream technology, you know, that you would love to have in your organization that you just don't have, that doesn't exist as far as you know? And the one that I came up with was this tool to tell me where to locate the business. I've been on this for years. And so when I knew we could talk about this some today, I got really, really excited. And the last thing I'll mention on this, and we'll let it go, is just it will be interesting when probably the most high profile location seeking kind of effort in the last, you know, 5 years or so or 10 years has been this Amazon HQ2 kind of, you know, award decision process kind of thing. And where that ends up, it'll be really interesting to me to see how much the talent, you know, component, right, of the equation comes into play about where they ultimately make their final decision. And we know there are other things involved too, like land and taxation and how many, you know, concessions they can squeeze out of the local governments in these places. And I know there's a lot of that too, but I think the talent factor is going to be these 2/3 of that decision. It's got to be, right? And it's going to be really interesting to see how that turns out. All right.
Absolutely.
We'll let that one go. The last thing I think Dan, I wanted to talk about before we let you go today is this is really fun and exciting and cool, and the access to data and information for HR and talent leaders has never been greater. But at the same time, like, I meet lots of HR pros, lots of talent leaders, lots of folks who still yet have really gotten going down this path. They're still kind of stuck in their old kind of data in, data out. Maybe they have old systems, old processes. Maybe they're really from smaller companies, you know, and don't have access to a lot of resources, a lot of IT help, and so on and so forth. You know, LinkedIn works with companies of all sizes, right? All capacities, all stages of maturity in this. What are some things that you think about or talk about for HR and talent leaders to kind of get started thinking more about applying data insights and decision science and machine learning kind of techniques? What are some of the things that you advise folks who are just really maybe new to this and want to get started in it?
Great question. I have two thoughts. The first is, if you look at one of the most sophisticated products in the world that's ever been built, it's the Google search engine. And the Google uses an enormous amount of machine learning and AI to deliver its search results. But you know, if you asked me, how do I learn to leverage AI to search, I would say, just go to Google and it does it for you. Mm-hmm. And so I would start by saying most of this should not be the question of how do I personally use machine learning and AI to advance my cause. It should be, how do I make sure that I'm bringing the right tools into my organization to make it easy to adopt these capabilities into my core process? So our goal at LinkedIn, for example, is to make sure that all the LinkedIn machine learning is happening in a way that just infuses into the workflow of our clients. And there are other tools to explore the market. But I would start by saying, what tools do I have, as opposed to how do I personally become an expert at some of these topics? The second is, I do think that you're seeing a trend towards using data across more decisions in talent than has ever been the case before. So I would start by listing out, what are the questions that matter most to my organization? Maybe it's about where to locate an office. Maybe it's about my talent brand. Maybe it's about my compensation strategy. I think if you can prioritize what questions matter most, then you can figure out how to make sure you have access to the right information to come up with the right answer. And then the final point is that most, in my life, most experiences where I'm embarking on learning something new starts with asking people that have already done that journey. And so go to LinkedIn, find someone in your network that you think is on the path, and ask them for coffee and try to figure out what are some of the building blocks that they've laid out. And I think that advice from a friend who's been there before is always a great starting point.
Yeah, I think, Dan, I think those are all great pieces of advice, particularly around, like, let's just start with that question or those couple of questions that are most fundamental to what we're trying to accomplish as an organization, and think about how we can better utilize the data and the tools we have available to us to try to get the right answers to those questions. And it sounds like it's so simple advice, but it's so true. It's still true even years later, right? Even if we've been giving that same advice for a couple of years. One more last quick one, Dan, I want to kind of just come back to. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned at the top, we had Shord Gehring from Johnson & Johnson on the show, Global Vice President of Talent.
Yeah, I know Shord.
Yeah, sure. You know him too, right? You didn't go to school with him too.
I know
him
and Dan, yeah.
All hanging out together. I'm envisioning you and Dan Heath and Shore just hanging out, like talking about talent acquisition or whatever you guys talk about. But the reason I bring him up again is he specifically told me about one of the things he did when he kind of acquired the role as leading talent acquisition for J&J was a little bit of reskilling, a little bit of remixing his team. Right, bringing in some marketing people, bringing in some digital ad people, and so on and so forth. You know, are you seeing, you know, from the perspective of, or is LinkedIn seeing maybe from their sort of with their macro view of people and their roles and their skills, are we seeing more reskilling in HR roles and talent acquisition roles to find people with more of these kinds of data skills and analysis skills and data science skills going into HR? Is that something are you aware of? Is that happening?
Absolutely. I think it's akin to the shift that we saw 10 years ago as passive recruiting became the core strategy that most recruiting teams adopted. If you looked at what happened, passive recruiting was all about recruiting teams adopting much more of a sales and marketing approach to their tactics, where they need to go and get the best people as opposed to wait for the people to come to them. And you saw marketers and you just saw people coming in with marketing skills. You saw recruiters having much more of a proactive nature to them coming out of sales disciplines. Mm-hmm. It was a very big shift, and you saw, because that strategy was so fundamental, you saw teams retooling themselves in the spirit of that change. I think you're seeing the exact same thing start to happen now around what we think of as a shift towards talent intelligence. Talent intelligence is this idea that data should remake every step in the talent process, and it starts with a team that is data literate. We think that the two core capabilities of the modern recruiting team are going to be great recruiters with great instincts to engage with clients, to understand them, to persuade them, and great capabilities to generate insight to make recruiting as efficient as possible so that you're spending time with the right people. And that's going to require, I think, two fundamentally new skills. One is, on the instinct side, you need to have recruiters with great storytelling skills, great ability to understand people and what they're looking for, and really engage with people at the human level. And then you're going to need a platform to understand the data going through your system and generate observations that you can use to make everyday recruiting better, but also to inform strategic conversations at the executive level. So I think that analytical layer and that instinctual layer are going to be fundamental to successful teams going forward. And I think you're starting to see that at a pretty widespread pace across the clients that we work with most closely.
Yeah, Dan, I'd agree with that too, and that kind of mirrors a lot of what Shore told me. Slightly different approach, Shore. We were talking a lot about marketing, and specifically when we were talking with Shore, but I think that fundamentally, though, at its core, that's what definitely we're seeing more and more, especially in larger organizations as well. But hey, Dan, I want to hold you up any too much longer. Last thing, I know, like, I wrote about the Talent Insights product in my HRE Online column, and I'll tell you the one thing, and then I'm going to ask you to comment. The one thing that in there I saw when I saw the product demo and I wrote about that, that I like the most, just because I can remember a time in a role 10 years ago or so, or 8 years ago, when the organization I was with, we were losing talent. People were just resigning all over the place, right? Our sales and our sales leadership organizations were getting decimated, and we were desperate to try to figure out where all those people were going. And it wasn't easy, right? Because they didn't always tell us, right? And I saw in the Talent Insights product or some aspect of it, like some information where organizations and talent leaders can see, hey, who are you losing people to and where are you getting people from? And I saw that simple little metric, and I said, oh my God, where was this 8 years ago? This would have saved my life and saved hours and hours of my time. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about kind of some of the new things that are coming, and maybe even tease anything that's coming out, maybe, or you can talk about, or you're thinking about moving forward, the types of tools and technologies that will help HR and talent leaders do the kinds of things that we've been talking about the last 25 minutes or so.
Yeah, I think there's a couple that I'll share. The first one is the Talent Insights product. We announced it at Talent Connect, incredibly excited about it. I think the goal here is to build a product that is incredibly simple to use, but the data coming out of it can power any number of talent decisions. And as I said earlier, recruiting is often an area where it's hard to get hard facts to guide a discussion on what you need to do differently or what strategies you want to adopt. Everything as simple as who are we losing talent to can be a light bulb that goes off that helps you make big, good choices for the future. The product's currently in prototype with a handful of select clients, and we're going to be expanding that to general availability in the summer. Mm-hmm. And just couldn't be more excited about what that's going to unlock for some of our clients. It's just an awesome manifestation of taking LinkedIn data and putting it in the hands of our clients for great use.
Yeah.
And I'll be excited to share with you some evolutions as that product gets a little further along. The other two things that I'm really excited about, one is about using machine learning not just to automate but to personalize the experience on the other side of the market, which is for job seekers. Mm. Our products are powered by having a rich ecosystem of professionals that engage with LinkedIn. And what we found is that recruiting still adopts a one-size-fits-all approach to a lot of the ways that engages members. For example, when a member looks at a job, all members see the same job, regardless of where they look at it or who they are. But you know that when you're talking to someone about an opportunity, everyone cares about different things. Sure. For one person, it might be about cutting their commute. To another, it might be about working with people that they used to work with and enjoy. To another, it might be about taking a step forward or making a pivot. And so we envision a world where we can personalize the job experience to the member looking, and where the call to action to that member varies depending upon how strongly they line up with what the employer is looking for. So as you might imagine, for someone who's an awesome fit for a job, why are we asking these people to apply?
Right.
Why not ask them to schedule an interview directly or to set up a meeting with the hiring manager to learn more about the opportunity? We have an opportunity to use machine learning not just to make things more automated, but to personalize them to engage the best talent in the way that that talent wants. So I'm incredibly excited about that. We've already been testing some early ideas on that in our product, and the results are just awesome, so more to come on that. And then the final way is we still think that we could be helping our recruiter users spend more time with the 20 candidates that are awesome, as opposed to looking through lists of thousands of people to sift through.
Right.
And you're going to be seeing more intelligence in the product that's doing more of the heavy lifting for the recruiter, so that they can focus on that short list that is likely to contain an awesome hire for the company. And so there's more to come on that as well.
Dan, thanks for sharing some of those updates. I love that the second one you talked about, this idea of identifying that candidate who's a perfect fit and going right to, hey, Mr. and Ms. Candidate, we'd love to talk to you about this job. The hiring manager is so-and-so. Let's sit down and talk right now, rather than, you know, sending them a link to apply and, you know, to some external ATS and create an account and go through all this stuff, right, that people don't want to do, especially if they're really, really good, highly sought-after folks, right, in tough fields to recruit in. I think that's an awesome idea.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the truth is that I think most companies know what a great candidate experience looks like. The challenge is you can't deliver it to everyone.
Yeah.
And so the question is, how do you find those amazing candidates that where you can deliver that exceptional candidate experience to in a way that's scalable? And I think we know enough about the candidate and we have all this information about what the company wants where we can create that match and then deliver that red carpet experience to those people that are really at the top of the list. And I'm just really excited about what that'll mean, not just for employers, but also for candidates that don't know where to start and don't know which companies really want to engage with them.
Yeah. To me, it could be a win-win on both sides, and there's nothing more important or better than that as well. So, hey, Dan, I know you're pressed. I'll let you go. Of course, everyone's on LinkedIn, www.linkedin.com. Anywhere else we'd want to send people who want to learn more, particularly about some of the new product innovations and they may not be familiar with? Where would you send them to learn more about those?
Yeah, there's a great website at talent.linkedin.com that walks through some of the recent announcements that we've made and our general roadmap. And so I'd encourage people to go there. And if anyone has any feedback on the product, please feel free to message me. I'm Dan Shapiro on LinkedIn and looking forward to all the feedback.
Dan, thank you so much. We'll put Dan's LinkedIn profile link in the show notes as well. I want to thank him, of course. Man, I'm a Mark. I wrote about LinkedIn last month. I spent 1,800 words basically saying how I'm in with LinkedIn, Dan. So I'm a fan, I have to say it. So thanks. And I'm an early adopter, too. I'm like in the, you know, the first 500,000, probably, going back. I don't want to share exactly how old I am, but I've been on for ages. So
the first 500,000, you'd be in the first 0.1%.
Yeah.
So that's very
amazing.
Early.
Amazing. So anyway, Dan Shapiro, LinkedIn, Vice President of Talent Solutions, Careers and Learning. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Really, really appreciate it. We'll have all the links in the show notes. I also have to thank Virgin Pulse one last time, www.virginpulse.com. Thanks for all the support this year. And thanks to you, HR Happy Hour listeners. More shows to come before the end of the year. Stay tuned to the HR Happy Hour Network. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcasts. We appreciate the support. Tell a friend, tell your family, tell your mom. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Steve Bowes. We'll see you next time on the HR Happy Hour show. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.